to Transformation Highway. My name is John Malkin, and as a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports free expression of ideas. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of the speakers or artists only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Regents, KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee by calling 831-459-4726 or emailing prc@kzsc.org. KZSC thanks the Good Times for supporting community radio. Good Times is published every Wednesday and distributed at more than 650 locations countywide. Good Times covers the news and issues facing Santa Cruz County and our local arts scene too. The paper also provides listings and reviews of local music, dining, and movies for the week. If you can't pick up a copy, you can find them online at goodtimes.sc, where you can read Good Times online and access archives of past issues. And coming up at the Discovery Learning Center of Santa Cruz, it will be the third annual Santa Cruz Homeschool Conference. This one-day conference is a chance for building community, finding support, learning new things, and having fun for the whole family. The event will take place Saturday, August 13th from 9 to 4:30 at the Discovery Learning Center. For more information, go to dlcsantacruz.org. Don't forget to tune in to The Busy Bee every Tuesday from noon to one and hear local business owners share their secrets to their success. Wonder what that could be. Some magical new ways. Busy Bee, noon to one, right here on KZSC Santa Cruz. This is Transformation Highway. My name is John Malkin, and I'm here today in the studio with Kelly Bryson. And Kelly is the author of Don't Be Nice, Be Real. He's contributed to other books as well and written lots of articles. He is a licensed psychotherapist. He's a certified trainer of nonviolent communication. He's a musician, and his website is languageofcompassion.com. And Kelly has been involved with a lot of different community building efforts and is continuing in that. He is part of a 25-acre community locally that has 11 people living on it now. He's part of the Santa Cruz Network for a New Culture. And Kelly Bryson, I'd like to warmly welcome you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, John. What a pleasure. What fun to come together. And I feel jazzed about our interaction.
I do, too. I haven't seen you in a while, and I thought it was a good way to hang out. So we're here, and you've been up to a lot and been traveling and having a lot of experiences and meeting folks. What's lately up for you most?
Well, there's two big things. I just got back from 2 weeks at a Network for New Culture summer camp in Oregon, the 23rd annual event of this thing. And just before that, I was in Germany for 2 months, traveling around to about 15 different communities all over Germany. Some are new ones that I'm kind of planting the seed and getting them started. Mm-hmm. And others have been going on for quite a while. Some of which had lost their vision, so I helped them relocate their vision and their passion. And some were just getting going. Some names of these communities are things like the New We, was one community I worked with in Wuppertal, Germany. Another one's called the Nature Community. This one's in near Munich, down south, and is a spinoff of the Tamara Community. There's another one, Lenort, which is a pretty much focused on how to bring economic consciousness to the planet, a new consciousness based on compassion. So it's a pretty large community. I have a wonderful building there in in Germany, and a lot of young people involved with that. Mm-hmm. So all kinds. Some I just helped get started, like at the University of Bremen in northern Germany. There's a powerful young leader there who's a teacher, a professor at the University of Bremen. He invited about 55 people to come together and to do a workshop on tribal technologies that I love to share.
Would you talk about the tribal technologies and also some of the fundamental values of these different communities that you visit and participate in and help reinvigorate? What are some of the most important values?
Well, some of the primary values are truth, trust, and transparency. Truth is kind of like, if you ever heard the story about the young child who said that the emperor has no clothes. When he said that, there's like a ripple that goes through the crowd of, oh yes, recognition, there's truth being spoken there. Then there's the value of transparency, which is about just really saying what's alive, what's authentic, what's true within you, without judgment or blame or analysis. It's kind of like what Marshall Rosenberg used to talk about. And yet another level of it is even transparency at the level of sensation and energy and movement. It's being proactive in sharing that which one would usually hide from one another. So I try to bring that forward and put that on the table because it creates trust, the third value. And the thing that I'm really trying to do is create trust in groups and between couples and people. The more trust, the better the communication. So the first thing I work on, I use tribal technologies to create intimacy. Into me you see through these practices and processes that create connection. And from the connection flows the direction. Direction of trust and cooperation and joy and love and play and creation together. So there's several different kinds of tribal technologies. Nonviolent communication is one that I've used for 30 years. But there are other ones that are more specifically designed for working with groups and communities. Nonviolent communication developed out of the therapy world. Carl Rogers first hired Marshall to look at what is a good therapist, and that's where nonviolent communication came out of that. So it's a dialogical kind of approach. But these other processes, some things like the Zeg Forum that we do here locally, come from eco-villages in Europe who needed to find out how can we get a group to trust each other? How can we create a system for a community to learn how to communicate with itself? And so they developed this kind of a psychodrama group process called the Zeg Forum, which is great fun and very transformational at the individual and the group level. And it's one of the most powerful community building tools I've ever come across.
I first met you through nonviolent communication and during a period where Marshall was coming to Santa Cruz a few times, and it was exciting to see him and hear him directly. Recently, I realized, although I had heard a lot about Carl Rogers from Marshall, I never checked him out directly through his books and videos. And there's some videos online. And I read one of his books about education, and it was really illuminating. What do you hold most dearly about Carl Rogers and Marshall Rosenberg?
Well, Carl got Marshall started, but the most beautiful thing, the first thing that pops up for me as I think about Carl Rogers is his contribution to psychology in this sense, that he said once that the more personal any issue is, the more universal it is. So the more personal, the more universal. This is what we find in our transformational group process work. The more shame, the more fear, the more guilt someone has about an issue, probably the more everyone can relate to it. So when we work with people on the individual level, like in the group process of Zeg Forum, we get very, very personal about issues of power, sex, money, the core issues. And as we work with an individual and they have transformation and insight and perspective, that beautiful wisdom transfers into the group collective as a group awakening, as a group consciousness. The more personal people work on issues like jealousy and money and self-expression, the more the whole group feel gets informed by it, and the more wisdom and the more you could call it awareness the group develops. The more consciousness in the community, one personal, very personal issue at a time. It's like building blocks of consciousness for a community, and the deeper they go with each individual personal issue, the greater the consciousness of the whole community becomes. Thich Nhat Hanh said it beautifully. He said, the next Buddha will be a Sangha. The next Buddha will be a community. And I really believe that now. And I think it's hard for even to develop beyond ego spiritual consciousness without a group of people calling you on your stuff and confronting you and giving you rough love when you need it and giving you feedback and mirrors, we call them, so that you can really evolve beyond just ego spirituality and become a communitarian.
I remember being really interested when Thich Nhat Hanh said that some years back, the next Buddha would be a community and not a single person. It has a lot of implications. When you talk about rough love or mirroring to people, so, you know, we go through our lives and we might thank people for things they're doing that are wonderful for us, but it's sometimes more difficult to ask people or communicate with people about things you'd prefer they would do differently. Yeah. And, you know, if you are someone who reads a newspaper or goes online and reads about stuff going on in the world, it can appear that there's an overwhelming amount of things we'd prefer people would do differently. Like, those people should have food to eat. Those people shouldn't have bombs dropped on their heads. In a personal way or in a global way, how best to offer ideas and even obstruct violence and use nonviolence?
Well, in the communities I'm building and working with, we have a special process for it. We call it the Zeg Forum. And one person at a time gets in the middle and talks about their issues, what's alive, authentic, and true in their real-life issues. And then at the end of their process, we give them mirrors, which means anyone in the community can stand up and say, you know, I noticed that he kept his hands in his pockets the whole time he talked about how giving he's being in the world. And I question whether there's something going on there that he's not really looking at. So we'll bring attention to blind spots, you might say. But the way to give that information is from warmth and love and caring for that person's evolution. We really ask that no one even give a mirror unless they're feeling warmth in their heart toward the other person, because otherwise there'll be a barb in it and the person will resist. The transformation won't happen. They won't take it in. So we try to do it from caring.
Mm-hmm. From a compassionate place.
Love and compassion and the interest in the issue itself. And usually there's not that many complexities. Virginia Satir, my mentor, once said there's only 36 primary dynamics that are going on in a group or a family. It's usually one of these 36 issues. So it's, as a community kind of wakes up to that, they can kind of call them out. And they don't let them go too long in their story before they interrupt the story to interject something that will bring about consciousness and perspective.
So tell me, we were talking about this earlier a little bit. My son is 8 years old now, and it seems really common and prevalent, this notion that the world needs to be saved, and in myriad different ways, mm-hmm. saved even from us, ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's quite a notion to grow up inside of, and I'm wondering how it's affecting us adults, but also the next generation growing up. What are you thinking about where we're at? Let me add this too. I just recall that Laurie Anderson, this performance artist who I really love, she often presents herself a question that then perpetuates a project. Mm-hmm. One of her questions at one point was, are things getting better or are things getting worse? And often human beings have some clear idea, they think, about that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people I hear from, they say things are getting worse. And it ties into this thing, well, if things are getting worse, we need to save the place.
Yeah. I would. It amuses me. Uh-huh. To me, what's more important is, can we make it better? Whether it's getting better or worse. If it's true we can make it better, then why not do that? Even if it is getting better. So I'm very excited. What gets me up every morning is this knowing that I can make a major contribution to the transformation of the planet, very simply and beautifully. And very concretely, because I believe in field theory. Field theory is kind of like, you ever heard of this guy named Roger Bannister? Mm. He was the first man to ever break the 4-minute mile. As soon as he did, people all over the world could break it. So now what's going to happen as soon as we get the first truly, fiercely loving, compassionate, conscious community going? What's going to happen all over the world? That information is going to be available to every person on Earth who's trying to be a part of community through the noosphere, you know, through the morphogenetic field transmission. So I wake up every day knowing that if I do my part in growing and transforming my little communities that I'm involved with, this can make a major impact. Margaret Mead, I think it was, said that never underestimate the power of a small group of people to make major changes. In fact, that's the only way it's ever happened. So it gives me a lot of motivation to know I can contribute that way.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, especially because you're traveling and encountering people that are actually doing that.
Well, like I was just at the Zeg community a month and a half ago in Germany, near right outside of Berlin. So there's 185 people or so who live right on campus, but there's about 5,000 who live within 5 or 10 miles. And they have 20,000 guests a year that come through their place and take their seminars on nonviolence, take their workshops on healthy sexuality and communication, and take their workshops on Romanian gypsy music, all these beautiful things, and work kind of as the liver for Berlin, kind of a detoxification, rejuvenation center for this city. And they're what we call a healing biotope. They allow no violence on their property. And when you step onto their property, you feel the presence and the love and the compassion. And it becomes like a place to inspire and detoxify all the people in Berlin. What if we had a healing biotope outside of every major city in the world? What effect could that have on that city? As people come each weekend, on the weekends, and come and live in, exist in the consciousness of truth, transparency, and trust, and then bring that back into the city. This is a concrete plan for utopia worldwide. And this is the mission of the Temera community. They're called a peace research center in southern Portugal. And they're trying to make their model available to any group that wants to grow a community like that. And their issues are things like solar energy. They call the solar-powered village because they work all on solar power. They have no violence. So they're a vegetarian society. And they have this very big, most important project. They call it issue number one, is the healing of love. They think that most of the war and disease on the planet is because of the domination of the masculine over the feminine in the world, the patriarchy. And that if we could end the war in the bedroom, we could end the war everywhere. And we could have health. The health from great diseases and also from the whole paradigm of violence.
I'm speaking with Kelly Bryson here today on Transformation Highway. This is KZSC Santa Cruz, and we have a lot more to talk about, and I'm enjoying hanging out. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make a couple of announcements. The Arroyo Seco River watershed is a scenic and popular summer destination. To keep it beautiful, Save Our Shores is sponsoring a cleanup day on August 13th to remove trash and other sources of pollution before it flows into the Salinas River watershed and ultimately into the Monterey Bay. Volunteers should dress in layers, wear sun protection, bring a reusable water bottle, and some of your own cleanup supplies such as gloves, grabbers, and buckets if you can. The cleanup will take place from 10 until noon. Meet everyone at the main entrance of Arroyo Seco Campground in Greenfield, Saturday, August 13th. For more information, saveourshores.org. And I've had some great hikes down there. It's really unique and beautiful landscape. And check out KZSC every Wednesday at noon for Artists on Art, hosted by Nada Milkovich. The show features live interviews with local artists working in all media on their practices and philosophies. Don't forget, Artists on Art can be heard every Wednesday at noon right here on KZSC Santa Cruz. The show streams live at KZSC.org. And you can follow Nada's video podcast at artistsonart.net. And maybe tell us a bit more about your direct experiences with different communities in all of these realms, increasing nonviolence, healing from trauma, reinvigorating love, healing from city life. I guess I'm curious too, specifically, to hear from you about technology. It's really increased in the past 10 years and 20 years, the amount of time and energy people are communicating via machines, and especially screens, and carrying them around. And I'm always curious to hear from people, and I'd be curious to hear from you, Kelly, how helpful you think that is and how harmful it's being for people, even in organizing community and the kind of things you're doing locally and around the world.
Well, the one thing I do love about it is that it allows all the crazies to find each other.
They're all hooked in.
Well, they can at least search for each other, and those who are interested in these weird ideas I'm presenting can find each other. So I'm really delighted with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big expert on the impact of screens on consciousness and all that. I do know that, like in the summer camp I was just at for 2 weeks, we had great joy every night being with each other, playing, doing comedy improv, and snuggle parties, and music together. We had concerts several nights of the week where people got to play their own live music with each other, and there's a richness and a joy and an ecstasy that came from that that I've never gotten from my TV. So I think we're really missing out. Sometimes I tell those guys, I tell them, you're not really my friends, you're just cheap entertainment. But it's great joy, and the connection that grows and the trust that grows is so sweet and intoxicating. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I really wish we'd have more locally. This is part of my effort locally, by the way, is to bring these new culture kind of evening events to all the people who want them, to come together and do the Zeg Forum psychodrama process or all these other kinds of intimacy, communication games with each other, and kind of grow the field, we call it. And the joy and the connection is so sweet. It's so much more fun than just going to a movie or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
what's for you, what's something that stands out in your own personal growth and change, either recently or over the years? How have you connected with others and connected more with yourself and address violence in the world? What's been most wonderful for you?
Well, let me breathe on that. I think a little bit of humility has grown in the last few years, if I may be so humble to express that. And also, I'm more connected with my joy of being. I tell you, for 2 months I spent in Germany just now, I was in the joy of being and the joy of humor. Those two things, every day, except for one day. I was there every day. I really was in this, not the joy of thinking, but the joy of being. And my playfulness, it was so fun. I was just playful and joking all the time and in the joy all the time. And I think it's contagious. And I love the field it creates around me, with people around me who jump in and dive in and play with me about that. So that's been a big, wonderful change. Also, I do think I'm more present. I'm more in the present. Lots of reasons for that, partly some neurological stuff I've been dealing with. It's caused me to really focus on the present, because if I don't, I'm going to suffer. And so I'm grateful to my issues, because they've really motivated me to stay living in the present.
Would you be willing to say more about the stuff you're dealing with physically, neurologically? I am meeting more and more people who are struggling with the same or similar realms. My mother has Parkinson's. A few friends are dealing with it and have quite different experiences with it. I also started playing music for a dance class downtown Santa Cruz that's designed for people with Parkinson's too. Wonder if you would say a little more about what you're learning and what your experiences have been.
Yeah, I'll say a little bit. Actually, I want to read you a quote. This is a quote from the book called Terra Nova, Global Revolution and the Healing of Love. And this is about these healing biotopes that are springing up all around the world. And we're trying to create one here in Santa Cruz as well. Healing biotopes that bring in universal healing powers to address almost everything that gets created by, any kind of physical or mental illness can be addressed by these healing biotopes. Here's what the Terra Nova book says. All psychosomatic illnesses, headaches, joint pains, skin diseases, coordination disturbances, all the way up to Parkinson's, can be diseases of transformation that heal by themselves as soon as a solution reveals itself within the organism. We experience the difficult transition time on many levels, from the spiritual problems of finding meaning to personal problems in work and love, all the way to global ecological and political problems. Many problems, conflicts, and hardships from which we have hitherto suffered privately because we believe we needed to solve them individually do not originate from a personal deficiency, but from an objective global situation that calls for total change. We need new thinking and new knowledge that shows us the way out. It has been a founding thought of the Healing Biotopes Project to concentrate as much of this knowledge as possible in a single place in order to open the mind and spirit to the possibilities of comprehensive healing work. We needed to see the image in order to believe in its manifestation. Such places arise at Tamera in southern Portugal. So the concept here is that it isn't just an individual issue. Just like in family systems theory, it isn't just the identified patient that's a problem. It's a whole system that's changing. And as these two worlds collide, the old system and the new system, it creates transformational diseases. So if we can address it at the collective level, it has solutions that aren't found on the individual level.
What's happening with you now? Mm-hmm. How does Parkinson's affect you, and is it different than a few years ago?
Well, I had 3 years of just hell, of really debilitating hell. I got to a place where I basically couldn't walk across the room. I had horrible tremor all the time, great fear all the time, and I really suffered a lot. And then I kind of had a breakdown, and I kind of opened up and accepted to use some medication and just start putting myself into fields like working with groups and communities to raise consciousness, to raise morphogenetic field energy. And the more I hung out in those fields, the better I got. and I got better and better and better. And now I ran into my doctor, actually, playing ping pong the other night, and he told me he couldn't believe how fluid and how good. I think he finally did win the ping pong game, but I gave him a good run for his money. And it was wonderful. So I've had a major healing, transformational healing for myself around this. I'm so much better. The 2 months in Germany, I forgot I even had anything because I was in such a joyful... Part of it is this thing about surrender to my purpose, surrendering to my entelechy, it's sometimes called. And a part of that is I need to be in community to be able to really fulfill my purpose and my entelechy. So the more I'm doing that, the more joy I have, the better my body works, the less I even notice the symptoms. And it's just a... I just want to say, praise God, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that that's how things are now, and it's gone that way.
It's truly a miracle and a gift, and I'm grateful every day for how well I do feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm practicing accepting what is, accepting the rest of it, just what it is, without fighting it.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one for us humans, accepting reality as it is.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. One of the little tribal technologies I made up, actually. You get do exercises with people. You have one person express all the things that shouldn't be in the world and shouldn't be happening in their life and what's wrong with life in the world. Then they go to their pharmacist, and the pharmacist gives them an accept what is pill. And then they take this pill, and then they talk about what it's like accepting that I haven't found a job yet, and accepting that I have Parkinson's, or accepting that how does it feel now, accepting that you, all these situations that you can't accept, and play with how that feels to talk about that, and take turns. It's just a fun consciousness-raising game to play.
I'm speaking with Kelly Bryson, and Kelly's website is languageofcompassion.com, and Kelly is a certified nonviolent communication trainer and an author, musician, and also a member of a community that is thriving and developing now. Do you want to say more about that and what's happening, and are you looking for more people to join in?
Well, we're just getting started. We've only been going for a few months now, but we're in SoCal area, North Rodeo Gulch Road, up the road a bit. And there's 11 of us right now, and we're looking for about 20 people. But we're wanting to be a retreat center that also lives what we're teaching. So we live nonviolence and practice conscious sexuality and practice... truth-telling and transparency, and we learn all these modalities, these wonderful, powerful healing modalities, we're applying them and living them, and hopefully we're creating a sense on the property, a field of, you could say, presence and consciousness and caring and trust that people can feel, so that it isn't just a retreat center, it's also a living, breathing organism of community. That we hope people can feel when they come onto the property. So we're just developing our who we are. We're involved in a process, I call it culturebating. It's cultivating our own culture. We're growing deeper. What do we believe in? What's important to us? What do we want to promote in the world? So we're in a process right now of deepening and growing and developing that. So it's a good time to get in on the ground floor if people are interested. We need about 9 more. We have yurts and houses and cabins and different structures on the property already, and gardens and thousands of orchids, and it's a very beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about what we're creating together.
You mentioned the potential of these communities not being completely retreat centers, and how personal the work is that you're doing, and I am always interested in how social change and spirituality go together, and personal and community. And I'm wondering how what you're doing relates to or can be brought to places of suffering that are happening now. Your communities are something of training ground for compassion and love and community, tribal connection. And I think of this connected realm of what Gandhi called obstruction. And he talked a lot about construction, which is what you're talking about. And he emphasized that construction was to be emphasized in our lives. And there were those occasions where obstruction of suffering, he advocated. I'm thinking of a few things, just as examples. People who I've spoken with who go to U.S. military drone bases where men and women are sitting in trailers in Nevada or New York, and they're flying drones over Afghanistan and dropping bombs on quite a few children and women and other people. People who go to Iraq and places that the U.S. is bombing, and they deliver food instead, medicine. I think of the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm not sure if more young black and brown unarmed people are being killed by police now than 5 years ago, or if it's just that there's more video cameras around, but that's another location of suffering. I'm curious your notion of the potential to bring invigorated, loving, compassionate people to those places, if that's logical, sensible, and if so, what that would look like.
We do it, the way we're focused on it is we try to find the meridian points for the greatest violence and where we can have the greatest impact, the biggest bang for our buck, so to speak. So that's why we choose places like the Middle East to go and have projects there that we actually do something concrete on the ground action-wise, obstructionist kind of. Mm-hmm. One of our projects that Tamara has is they send quite a number of young people to, I believe it's to Colombia, to stand as a human shield, a human wall in between the government and the people, physically. They go and they have tents and camp out and physically block the government from killing its own people. And these are by young, enthusiastic, trained, nonviolent activists. But the biggest and most important thing is what energy they bring to their action. I'm thinking of like the Greenpeace movement, and I believe as Marianne Williamson once said that there's two kinds of people in those little boats, the Greenpeace boats that come in between the whales and the whalers. Some of those people are saying, screaming at the whalers, you violent jerks, you know, you, how dare you? Don't you have any compassion or consciousness? You're evil. And they're screaming at the whalers. The other people are looking at the whales going, oh, you beautiful, loving creatures. I want to protect you. I love you and I support you and I'm getting in the way because I love you. So they're coming from love instead of from fear and hate. Mm-hmm. So this is more important than any particular action, is what energy I'm bringing to the action. Mm-hmm. And this is the work we do in the healing biotopes and in the new culture communities that are springing up now all over the West Coast, particularly, and some of the East Coast, mm-hmm. and particularly in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So it gives us that deep training and consciousness to bring to our sacred activism, not just the same kind of egotistical authoritarian structures that we're coming out of, which is what you find mostly in the NGOs that I've worked with. There's so much pain and conflict between the people trying to bring this to others that it's kind of like hypocritical. Mm-hmm. Even in the founding of the Zeg community, they wanted to bring these principles of nonviolence to Berlin because they studied with Dieter Duhm at the University of Berlin, and it was powerful, and they started organizing to try to bring these teachings to others. And as they organized, they got into such backbiting, politicking, and infighting together, they thought it was a joke. What a joke to think we can bring nonviolence to others when we can't even get along with each other. So they committed themselves and moved into a farmhouse together for 3 years. And they committed themselves to nonviolence and to see what would happen. And they went through a lot. And in that process, they developed these other tribal technologies for transformation and healing. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's an excellent YouTube video online called The First U.S. Love School on YouTube, where Sabina Lichtenfeld talks about their process of going through this three-year period of healing themselves and transforming themselves so they can do the peace work in the world. And it's called The First U.S. Love School on YouTube.
There's also a love school coming up at Esalen, yeah, which is not far from here, September 14th through the 16th. Would you say a little more about that and who is going to be there and why you're going to go?
Well, the reason it's happening is because last October, Sabina Lichtenfeld, the founder of the ZEG and Tamara community, came to Berkeley and did a little program, and it sold out. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to it, young people, all brown-haired people as I looked out in the audience. And they were so turned on, they were so excited that they just demanded that she come back as soon as possible. And she sold out two love schools there in the Bay Area. And what they're about is using these processes, this ZEG Forum and other modalities, to heal issues like jealousy, to heal issues like the independence-dependence dichotomy that we have in love relationships, and all the different kinds of difficulties and challenges that come up in intimate love family relationships. So it's like a weekend where she and Benjamin Mendelsohn and also the great author of the Sacred Economics book, Charles Eisenstein, will come and spend a weekend helping people heal deeply, very personally, and work on individual issues personally for the healing of love issues. And this, of course, affects the community. The more consciousness and healing we have on the personal, individual level, the more that wisdom translates into community wisdom. And so I'm actually going in a week and a half to Portugal to take the same course from Sabina Lichtenfeld in the south of Lisbon in Tamara, a two-week love school that me and about 40 people from the Bay Area are going to go and attend, just to deepen our own understanding of how rich and how deep they've gotten in their understanding of love and how it works, and to heal my own personal stuff around it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. All my good mm-hmm. friends are going, and just there's like a whole bunch of people now in the Bay Area who's starting little groups and communities. Some of them have even bought land right outside of the Bay Area, so that on the weekends they can go and hang out together, live in the city and hang out in the country on the weekends, be community and grow their love for each other.
We have about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to let you know that. And if there's anything you want to make sure you mention, I want to give space for that. And I'm curious if this is interesting to you. I'd love to hear more about this phenomenon that does happen with human beings as we create movements to live free or movements to cultivate compassion. There's some inherent thing that happens of authoritarianism and control, and that notion and intention towards freedom and compassion has to be reborn and revisited continually. I wonder about your direct experiences with that, or what you know about ZEG community and how they dealt with that. The other part that's interesting to me that people point out to me sometimes, my response sometimes might be, well, then there shouldn't be an authority. But there's quite a difference between authoritarian and leadership. And Reverend Billy and his partner, Savitri, she pointed out to me, she said, actually, that's one of the main things missing from activism these days, is the willingness of people to become leaders and to enjoy leaders that are not authoritarian. Wonder what you think about all of this.
Well, I have a lot to say. I have about 5 hours to say about it. Well, the first thing I'll start with is the word hierarchy means divine order. So if you look at the Greek, I just spent 2 weeks in this camp with 120 people, very intensely living together for 2 weeks. And what we started to find was that this thing starts to become present in the group. Call it a group entity, but it's like the third thing. It's like, as we were all there together, this amoeba of group awareness consciousness starts to manifest. You start to feel yourself be a part of this energy field called a group. And then you feel the power come into you. It's your turn to speak, and you speak. And sometimes it's your turn to speak, and you don't speak. And you feel the drop in the energy of the whole group. So it's part of like developing this consciousness of divine democracy, where we all have a certain connectedness energetically and awareness with each other. And out of that comes the power to take action and the wisdom of the group energy field. But in America, we have such rugged individualism in our background, it's very challenging for us to let go of that ego protection and become one to merge with the group. We have so much fear of the Kool-Aid and becoming part of a Borg and all that stuff that we don't know how to allow this divine democracy, this natural authority, and this thing called rank to start to develop very organically and naturally in groups. And it does happen if you spend a lot of time learning how to be intimate, to be surrendered to a group energy field. But it's something that needs to grow in our culture if we're going to have these sustainable new culture kind of communities. The last thing I'll say, I know we're closing now, is Martin Luther King said it. He said he didn't come to end racism or to end the war in Vietnam. He came to establish the blessed community. This was his purpose. And I think this is what's going to bring us into a new Terra Nova, a new culture, is this recognizing of the importance of non-judgmental, transparent, trusting, autonomy-respecting tribes. And for all of us to grow through that and to bring that concrete utopia to the planet.
It's a pleasure hanging out. I'm glad to see you and hear you and talk with you.
Mm-hmm. It's been a joy. It's been fun.
Good.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Kelly Bryson, and how can people keep in touch?
They can reach me at kelly@languageofcompassion.com. That's my email address. I'm happy to have you give me an email. I'll even leave my phone number out. 831-227-7885 is my phone number. And you can call me and we'll hook you up to what's happening around the world with the new culture movement.
Thanks, Kelly, and have a wonderful time in Portugal.
Yeah, cool.
All right. This is Transformation Highway. My name is John Malkin. This is KZSC Santa Cruz at the University of California in Santa Cruz.